Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's October 28, 2021, and it's our monthly Ask Me Anything call. So welcome, everybody. And I did not receive any email questions, so it's up to the live folks, both of them at the moment, to ask me any questions that they have. So Joanna Villarica, we're not going to call directions or anything. This is a less formal event. So do either of you have a question for me?
It's kind of funny, because last time I asked you so many questions. If you look back at the recording, I asked question after question, and then I had second and third parts to the question. And I was thinking, perhaps I'll just sit and I'll listen tonight. And I'm having my dinner, which is popcorn. I'm just finishing this, but I will. If Federica would like to go first, I could probably figure out some questions.
Okay. Well, if it doesn't populate up much more, then your questions would certainly be welcome.
Okay. All right.
Oh, here's Deanna joining us, and Risa. Okay, we got some more folks coming in, so there may be more. So, Federica, do you have a question to start us off?
Yeah, maybe you can do another EFS session with us.
Oh, and this particular event is really not designed for experiential stuff. Just about everything else we do is that.
No, not today. In the future, I was thinking.
Oh, right. So I remember I did one where I worked with one person, I think a couple of people, and everyone else watched. So you're asking that we schedule another IFS?
Yes, yes.
Session. Okay. Okay. That's a good idea. Thank you.
And I am the candidate.
You'd like to be the IFS, huh? Okay. And the way I do them is we just start and first come, first serve kind of thing. So if we do that, then jump in fast if you want to be the one.
Okay. Thank you.
So Deanna and Risa, you should be able to unmute yourselves. So so let's just popcorn. Anyone who's got a question, just unmute and speak. Risa?
Not yet, but I do in a little while.
Okay, cool. All right, so the floor is open. No questions currently waiting. So anyone who's got one, feel free to jump in. And I'll just check the email again real quick to see if anyone sent one. No, there were no questions sent by email, so it's all live. So we await the next question, and anyone can speak.
Well, it may be a personal question, but what ended up happening with the new location, new living situation?
Well, we've had two houses look like we had them, and then they both fell through.
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. We had one, and then we were ready to sign a year lease, and then the landlord said, well, we might want to move back here, so we're only willing to go month to month.
Ooh.
And we got a bunch of stuff, and we were not willing to do that. And then we just had another place in Black Mountain, which is very close to here. It was a lovely house, and the lady who owns it lived there in the part we were going to rent, and she thought she had a home purchase all lined up, and it fell through, and she's not certain that she's going to be able to have the house available by December 1 when we need it. So that fell just a few hours ago. So I'm scouring the internet again and looking for more possibilities. So I still have a really good feeling about it, and I feel that I know we're going to land someplace good. It's just a matter of perseverance and looking at a lot of houses possibly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was wondering about that earlier today.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Next question. Hi.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, is it my turn? I don't know. I just got.
Well, you were waving at me, so I thought you might have a question.
Oh, I was just saying hi.
Okay. All right. So, anyone with a question, feel free to.
Okay. So I have this. I get a difficult blood test back, and it's pretty serious.
Okay.
And so basically, you don't have a cure for it, and you get blood transfusions, and then finally they don't work, and you're just gone. Hmm. So I had no idea.
Mind sharing what the situation is, what the diagnosis is? Are you open to that?
Oh yeah, I'm open to that. But wait a minute. I thought we didn't record these.
The Ask Me Anything we do record.
Oh, okay. Okay, good to know. Okay, so here's my question.
Okay.
So the diagnosis has to do with anemia and blood loss and in bone marrow and all that. Okay. So, you know, I've done some IFS already, even though I just got the diagnosis. I still am, you know, I've already done some. And so I'm doing more and going, you know, another layer, and just in that, in finding the new layers, I need to know, you know, a question, an answer to a question. So I've come up with this belief that my parents both had. Mm-hmm. So how can I like use that with IFS? Do I just go inside and find the younger me that said, oh, they have that belief, I took that on, made it my own?
That's basically the right idea. The way I would phrase that is I would call forth all parts that are holding that toxic belief, or that, okay, that belief that's causing you challenge, and then have the parts, okay, and you just start working with them according to the protocol inside the course.
Okay, calling forth all parts that have that belief.
Well, what I like to say is, I say, okay, here's the issue I want to work on, which is your, it sounds like, are you working on the healing of the physical condition or of the healing?
Yeah. But you know, it's caused from an attitude or a belief, same thing. Okay. Attitude, belief.
Yeah. So you've just however you want to identify it, you say, all parts related to whatever, however you identify the problem, the physical
condition. Related to, the belief, okay,
you're holding, I ask them to step forward now so I can perceive them. And then you work with them according to the protocol.
Okay.
Can I add another thought beyond IFS?
Oh, please. Sure.
Now, in my own case, I was starting to have some cognitive decline, and which could ultimately lead to Alzheimer's. But I caught it really early, and I discovered this book called The End of Alzheimer's, and now working with a functional medicine doctor who just tested me deep yesterday and discovered that diagnosis you had, unspecified mild neurocognitive disorder, it doesn't exist anymore. You reversed it. See, all people believe, oh, that just inevitably declines. There's nothing you can do. Just hang on for the ride. But you can actually reverse it. And the doctor who created this protocol has reversed hundreds of people with this situation. So that's just to lead into my thought. If you're not working with a functional medicine doctor, these are doctors who the last thing they want to do is write you a prescription. They want to know about your diet, your lifestyle. They want to not give you a pill to cover the symptoms. They want to get to the root cause of why it's happening in the first place and work with you with diet and anything else that will create a positive impact. So, most doctors are not treating the root cause. They're covering symptoms with pills. So
right.
That's the current paradigm. So as serious as this sounds, and you, when you spoke about it, you sounded as if it's a, like a death sentence. There's nothing you can do except
inevitable. Well, it's usually in people who are, you know, in their 80s or older, mm-hmm, and they get blood transfusions for a few years and then they end up dying because they probably at that age have other health conditions.
Okay. But you're obviously much younger than that.
But yeah. And so I also have a different mindset than most people in that, you know, I know that if it is something that I can take care of, then the way you take care of it with mindset, diet, you know, yeah, everything you just said.
So whatever the name of the condition is, you'd want to Google that and put that in and the word reversal or healing. And then like I eventually found the book, The End of Alzheimer's by Dr. Berenson, and that led me one thing to another to a functional medicine doctor. So don't assume just because some doctor told you there's nothing you can do, maybe that doctor, I mean, even in the Alzheimer's protocol, most neurologists still don't understand that Alzheimer's can be reversed. And Berenson has been doing this work for years with New York Times bestselling books, right? So don't assume a doctor is savvy enough if he's not a functional medicine doctor or she. So I'm saying go do your research, discover is there any way to heal or reverse this situation, and do your due diligence. There may be some crackpot with some crazy scheme that doesn't work. Try to find someone who's been doing experimentation, has people they've actually reversed, you know, try to find someone credible, et cetera.
Right. Well, thank you, because I was thinking of, even though I'm maybe slightly younger than people who need elder care, mm-hmm. since this is a disease of the elderly, yeah. then maybe that's the doctor that I need. I'll be broader than that.
Yeah, I would seek a functional medicine doctor, because they look first to diet and lifestyle change. They want to heal it with food and supplements if they can. And, right. and they'll use pharmaceuticals as needed.
Right.
So if you haven't explored that, I definitely would.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, and of course, all the spiritual stuff helps too. Any IFS you want to do to heal the piece of the family lineage stuff or whatever it may be. And, you know, all the spiritual tools. I mean, what I'm doing with my own situation, I am throwing the whole kitchen sink at it. I'm doing spiritual stuff. I'm drinking ayahuasca. I'm microdosing mushrooms. I'm on top of all the supplements, all the dietary shift, all the lifestyle shift, et cetera. So I'm not being one step at a time. I just want to throw the whole thing at it and get this thing cured, you know?
Right. I understand all of it's important. It just seems intuitively that this is my place to start is from mindset, you know, IFS.
Yeah, that's important, but I wouldn't make it the only thing. If this as serious as this sounds, I would definitely be exploring, are there dietary shifts I can make? Are there behavioral shifts that would help? Like, for example, classic things a functional medicine doctor would look at, are you getting 7 to 8 hours sleep every night? You know, are you meditating enough? Are you exercising enough? You know, are all the lifestyle things in place that are going to generally support health and give you just more juju to fight off whatever it may be?
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
You're welcome.
And I've been thinking about you, because when I first heard that you were having this dilemma of moving at this most inopportune time, it like floored me. It just like, it affected me so deeply. Oh. It's like, how can you be of help if you're like going to just fall apart? So I went ahead and just let it myself do that. And then appropriately did prayer. And then my Qigong master's like, well, since you have this diagnosis, you really can't do prayer anymore. You can't do prayer groups. You can't do healing groups.
What?
Because he says you have this pattern of giving away too much and you don't save anything for you. You don't have a bank account.
Okay. So can I address that?
Sure.
My experience when I'm channeling energy well, none of my personal energy is even used.
Yeah.
Benjamin's personal reserve stays right where it is, and the divine power comes through and channels out to who I'm sending to. So if you're really letting your divine do it for you and your ego isn't efforting to send, then you should actually end up more energized after sending healing than when you started.
See, it's the word sending that he doesn't like.
It's you know, to me, I don't send. I request the energy. I chill. I'm just a hollow reed. And I observe as the energy comes in and out.
Yeah, I've been doing that, just playing with that by myself, even though if you or anybody else uses the word send, I just fill me up more. And by filling me up, then it's like a mirror for whoever, and they get filled up too.
Yeah, that's more like surrogate healing.
Yeah.
Where there's not a, so for me, it's now, again, I don't experience the surrogate thing so much in terms of being filled up with light on behalf of another person. When I experience this, now again, everyone's going to be different, and that may be, I don't doubt that's your valid experience. My own experience is when I'm doing surrogate healing, I feel heavy energy processing through me. I might shake or whatever. And I definitely feel energies that are not mine coming through to be processed and transmuted. And hopefully that other person is being relieved of some of their heavy energy as I do that.
Well, he has a different take on it. And so he doesn't get So, you know, I'm, you know, he's one of my best helpers.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, what I would suggest is you appear to have two people telling you different things. So try for yourself and see what your own experience is. Well, if you have two different opinions from people you trust, then what can you do but experiment with yourself and see what your own truth is?
Right. And, well, I've just taken this stance lately that not to process other people's stuff, because, you know, as an empath, I was doing it in an unhealthy way. Mm-hmm. I was doing an unbridled empath, right, where I would just take on everybody's stuff and then be sick.
And then, but here's, so it sounds like you were absorbing it and keeping it in you, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's not what I teach.
Well, I didn't mean to. I wanted to process it out, but it wasn't happening. So
again, when you've been on Awakening Plus calls and we've been doing healing processes, did you ever feel heavy energy coming through you?
Right. And before you actually talked about it, I've been doing it a long time with you, I was fine. But then once we started talking about it, I guess I got caught up in the words or whatever. And I listened to other people and then, you know, conflicting this and conflicting that. So I'm now at the point what you just said, what works for me. Right. What works for me is just filling up. And then they get filled up with more divine light and it heals whatever the intention was for. Right. And also, and then I say, because I used to do it in, you know, not healthily, right, to make it healthy, now I say, and not process their stuff, mm-hmm, that their own bodies and their own light can process their stuff. And so now if I feel it, I'm not going to freak out because of what you just said. I'm just sensing what they're going through. I'm not going through it. I'm just having a sense.
In fact, I'll share with you, like I recently did some, this last weekend I did some ayahuasca ceremonies and we're shaking like crazy for a big part of it. And asked the shaman afterward, is there something I can do to not shake? And he said, he said once he had a ceremony and he perceived the lattice was not the word he used, but it was like a green mesh. And he said he saw this fine green mesh all around his body. And he said if it was other people's energy coming through, he imagined the energy going down the lattice outside his body, mm-hmm, going inside his body. And he said that worked for him. And I've been playing.
Any tool. Yeah, any tool.
And I've been playing with that. And I believe I've been able to redirect some of the energy down the outside that might have come in the inside. Okay, because I've been asking consistently, is there any way not to have this come through my body? You know, I'd rather not have to shake like a piston, you know, when I'm doing a healing job. So you might try that just to ask the divine, okay, please create a lattice or a mesh around me. And if there's heavy energy that's coming my way, can you please send that down the lattice outside my body so it doesn't actually come into me, but still gets grounded down into the earth where it won't harm anyone and another person. So that might be an interesting visualization. I've been playing with it and it seems to be having some positive effect.
Well, I think that a lot of the healers that use the words, they don't mean the words that they're saying. When they're saying send energy to this person for healing, what they... One has corrected and now she says, send any energy that you don't need, you know, save what you need for you, but then send, you know, any excess to the person. And it's like, well, he didn't used to say that, but now she says that. So yeah, I think that's what she meant all along.
Yeah. And I respect all approaches that are helpful and some are more kind to the person doing the sending than others. The issue I have with that idea is that requires
discernment.
If it required your ego to make that decision.
Yeah, mental.
That's difficult because the ego is not really qualified to make that decision, in my opinion. My ego would have trouble with that. Okay. But again, what I like to do is I say, Spirit, just flow the energy through me for that person's highest good. And then Benjamin just chills. He does nothing. He just feels the energy coming in the crown and out the front of the body and out to the person. And that's often how it starts. But what often happens pretty quickly is, let's say whether I'm working with one person or sending to a group of people, it doesn't matter. At some point, I may just lose any sense of energy going for me. And I may just get a sense of merging with the the person or people or situation that's receiving, and I just become one with it. And then there's no sense of moving energy at all, but that which I am, my divinity, has merged with that which they are. And there's an automatic merging. And in that merging, you might say the right stuff is transferred over somehow.
I mean, it's a unity feeling, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But by the time it's done and we separate out again, the recipient is in a better shape because of the blending that happened. And when I do shamanic work and in our Awakening Plus calls, I am often just merged with the entire, I am the field. I can't tell the difference. I am the room. I am the space we've created virtually. There's nothing, there's no distinction. And that which I am can't be harmed by that. And that's the part doing it. And I've done enough work that Benjamin can be conscious of that as it's happening, but Benjamin's not doing it. Benjamin's just witnessing.
Right.
This isn't even meaningful because I'm so merged with my higher self, there's no difference anymore. I can't separate Benjamin from my divinity anymore. It's just all merged together. So this is where you start getting into paradoxical language because there's no I-thou anymore and language is dependent upon an I-thou, okay? So I know I'm tangenting, but I hope that makes some sense in the context of our discussion.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So if any of that's helpful, you know, take the best and leave the rest. And again, if you have heard a different opinion and the other opinion feels more valid than mine, then please go with what feels best to you and feel free to reject anything I say here. I'm not some infallible authority. I just have my own experience and my own opinion, and it may or may not be your truth. So just, you know, try things that feel right.
Sure. No, it's helpful. Yeah. I think words are not helpful. Like I said, when I first started, I don't think... I don't think I would have done it unhealthily, but I don't know that. I might have always had that tendency to overhelp in anything that I did. And so therefore, maybe I did take on, you know what I mean? Maybe
it's very common. I've worked with so many people who take on other people's heaviness and it sticks in them. They don't know how to drain it out.
Okay. Well, I think I pretty much did that then.
That's why a lot of psychics are so overweight. The fat is like trying to act as an insulating layer between them and the people they're working with. But if they're taking it on psychically, you know, the physical barrier makes no difference.
Well, another thing is that fat or lipids, that's a place to store toxins.
Yeah, you bet.
So that's why you need it, to store the stuff.
I hadn't thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, but, you know, you yourself will become sick and ineffective if you keep taking on people's stuff and not flushing.
Oh, believe me, I know. I have improved a great deal. I'm not doing that anymore. In fact, I got so good at asking, is this mine or is this theirs? You know, whose is this? And so now, almost always now when I ask that, it's all me. Good. So that's good.
Yeah, and you have the right to say, I will not process anyone's stuff for now.
Yeah.
You can totally set that boundary and the divine will honor that.
I do that, and it's still, I feel like there's still great effects on healing for the other person, because I do what you described, you know, and then it might go to where I'm in the oneness, or maybe not that far, but at least, you know, me filling up and intending that all my divine light is mirroring their divine light, and it's bringing it in for them too.
So. Yeah, I mean, if it works, that's a great system.
Okay, thank you.
There's lots of ways to do this. Thank you. Is that helpful, Jeannie?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Please. Thank you. Go on.
Thank you for that lovely discussion. So anyone else got a question?
Can I say something about it, about energy work?
Yeah, please, Viorica.
I took some classes on Reiki and on reconnection and the emotion code, and in every class they said you direct the divine energy. It's mm-hmm. not yours.
Right.
So like you said, you are a vessel only.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't give your energy to anybody.
Right. Not your personal energy. Right.
Exactly. Your personal. No. You are a channel for divine energy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. When I said I send energy, it means I don't send my energy.
Right.
I send divine energy to the other person to heal it.
Yeah, that's what I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that to me has been a great process.
No.
Good. Yeah, we're on the same boat for sure.
Exactly. And when you are directing the energy, divine energy to another person, you hold your energy, you hold energy, divine energy for yourself too. If you need it.
Yeah, that's not in my mindset, but that is a valid way of approaching it, certainly.
When I did Reiki, for example, for somebody, I feel more energized after.
Right. And I think we're in a semantic thing here. So, yes, I do feel more energized in most cases after I flow to another being. And I guess what stuck me there, I'm very literal with language around these things. And when you say I hold divine energy for myself, that's never in my mind. But when I start, I've already merged with my divinity and I'm already merged with higher self. So I don't have to hold anything. I'm already there. It's just no holding is needed. It's happening, you know, is what the best I can verbalize that idea.
Yeah, English is my fourth language, so
you will bear with me. That's amazing about how many languages. Well done. No, but so as long as you mean the divine energy is present with you as you're doing it, then I 100% agree.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anything else for you, Riga? Right now?
Yes. A question. How do I know who are my allies?
Who are your allies?
Yes.
Well, are you aware of any of them showing up in the inner world?
Yes.
Well, do you know their names?
Yeah, Jesus, Mother Mary, and Archangel Uriel.
Well, do you...
Some dragons and unicorn.
So do you know them all to be your allies?
I didn't ask them.
Well, are they showing up and helping you?
Yeah.
Isn't that the definition of an ally?
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say if they're showing up helping, they're allies by definition.
Yeah. Archangel Raphael, he comes, and Michael.
Yeah.
Mostly when I do energy healing.
Yeah. See, so do they just show up spontaneous or do you call them and do they come when you call?
Sometimes I don't call when I, Michael, I don't call very often, but he comes up, he shows up.
Okay. So sometimes they come on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. That totally sounds like allies to me.
Okay. Thank you.
So if they're showing up and helping you, I would say they're allies. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Good question. Any other questions at the moment? I mean, you can always ask more later. Okay, we'll leave space for anyone else who's got a question. So anyone's welcome to unmute and jump in. Or not?
I just have I don't want to ask 50 million questions like I did the last time. I kept more and more and more. My brain works that way because one question will start another question, starts another question.
Well, what's the question currently for you?
Okay. The tip of the iceberg is this. It has to do with this whole where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. As a spiritual person, I want to help people not have poison or harm themselves. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to say this is the right way and this is the wrong way and judgment and all of that kind of thing. And so some days I go well and I'm doing my Facebook and I see my friends and I'll comment. And then other times I have to like share something that's like, wake up, heads up. You know, I feel compelled to say, wake up.
Okay.
Research. And then other times I just let it go because then it's like, I get out of my flow if I get involved in the stuff, the debate or the energy. Right. So it's been an interesting thing and for myself and other people and all the ins and outs of it. I mean, there are days I feel like I've said a million times before, I don't even want to have a conversation about it because I get pulled into something. Next thing you know, I'm in Aries, I'm knocking heads with somebody, and I don't really want to do that.
Right.
And is there any like spiritual way? We all came here at this time, right? We came here for a service, right?
Right.
And we must have been called to this time to be a part of this unfolding, right?
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I go, well, if I'm not voicing my opinion, then am I doing the work I'm sent here for? I mean, there's a fine line there, and that's the whole, how do you work with that?
I see your question. So, you know, people do what they do. You know, different people, as an astrologer, I know if you've got a lot of assertive Aries energy, you may just want to jump right in and do the headlong battle. What I'll share with you is what I've learned from the things I've learned about psychology, which is if you throw your opinion at someone unbidden, without their permission, their likely response is going to be to resist and fight you.
Okay.
However, if your first thing is, wow, I have a thought about that. Would you be willing to hear it? Would you be willing to let me share it? And then if they give their consent, now they've opened the door for you to share, and whatever you share is much more likely to be received well.
Okay.
So that is my own way of doing things. I never offer my opinion. You know, the fact that we're here on this call, I mean, you're here because you want my opinion, or you wouldn't be on the call, right? But basically, if someone hasn't requested my opinion, I haven't a thought, I say, wow, I have a thought about that. May I share it with you? And if they say yes, now they've agreed to hear me. And by definition, they're now much more receptive to whatever I'm going to say. So just doing that first increases the odds they'll actually listen to you and be impacted by what you say.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that would be my first strategy.
Okay.
Also, there are subtle things you can, and also I was in sales for 20 years, and I learned there are certain ways that are more persuasive than others and more effective that way. Okay. So, for example, what I've learned to do is if I'm talking to a person and what I really want to say is, well, if you would only do this differently, then you might have a better outcome. You know, you phrase it around yourself. You say, well, I had a similar situation, and what I did there is I made this shift and had this positive outcome, and things turned out better for me. So you're not telling them what to do. You're telling a story about what you did and how you benefited. And then if they have half a brain, they can see that, well, maybe if I did that, I'd have that outcome too, right? So right, that's right. A gentler way of persuading than telling someone they ought to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, so many of us have, you know, especially these days when there's so much, you know, polarity and so much confrontation, you know, so many of us are just so tuned. Oh my God, someone's trying to tell me what to do now. I'm going to just put the wall up right away, you know? So these strategies of first asking permission to share your opinion. And then if possible, if you can phrase it in a way saying, well, I did this shift. It worked well for me. I had this benefit, and just leaving it at that. And then letting them decide, well, maybe, oh, I just got a great idea. Maybe I could do that. You know? Oh, what a great idea I just had. and that psychologically is more likely to create an actual shift than if you tell them what you think they should do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So those might be steps in the right direction.
Okay. I find even... months ago, talking to my sister, who I don't talk to very often, but we were talking about her condition,
mm-hmm.
Cancer and whatever. And I had given her like what I thought would be a good idea first to do. Mm-hmm. And then she decided on her own, she was just going to do what she decided. Mm-hmm. And then later, like a month later, after she's already had her breast cut off and had gone the extreme route, the doctor told her, it turned out she didn't even have cancer in her breast. And I'm like knocking my head on the wall going, wow, why, you know? So I had suggested, well, why don't you just do an exploratory thing first? Maybe, whatever. Because mm-hmm. she had it before, so she, but I'm seeing, so now, of course, she hasn't called me back or we haven't talked since and she shared it with me and I went, oh, I said, well, I'm happy to hear that you didn't have cancer. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of like really sensitive stuff.
Yeah.
And now, And I said, you know, and the other thing, oh yeah, we're all vaccinated and we're all this and that. And I said, well, you know, have you done any research at all? And, but it's like hard to even, you know, how do you, my sister, for instance, has no spiritual whatever. She doesn't think about anything but watching the TV and having them tell her what to do. And, you know, it's kind of like, I don't want to be your enemy, but the reality is like, wow, you know, I moved away from Minnesota and I got enlightened. I mean, but that whole community of the people I knew there are still in their same little space.
Okay. I have some thoughts on that, if you're open to it.
Okay. Yes.
Again, I love going back to the law of one material because I think there's so much wisdom there. And what they say is after the universe was created, the first law that was put into effect was the law of free will.
Right. Okay.
Everyone gets to do what they want.
Yes.
And if people, through their own free will choice, choose to do something that you perceive to be really stupid and self-destructive, they have every right to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Every right. And from the larger scheme, if you believe that there's reincarnation and the soul, you know, the game's rigged and ultimately everybody wins. No matter how badly we screw up a lifetime, we get another one and another one and we all get back to unity ultimately because there's nowhere else to go. So ultimately everything turns out fine for every soul, no matter how tricky a lifetime or how tragic a lifetime may appear to be. So I find that perspective really helpful. That way I don't get sucked into the melodrama of a particular situation. You know, even if someone dies, their soul is just fine. A soul can't be destroyed. It's going to move on to the next thing. So that larger perspective is helpful to me. So I don't get too wrapped up and think I have to save someone because ultimately no soul needs saving. Okay. They're all fine. Okay. So that perspective is helpful for me from the larger context. I got enough of my own stuff to work on. You know, I got plenty on my own plate without thinking I have to meddle in everyone else's life. Okay. So this comes to another belief I have, which, you know, a shaman told me more than once and I kind of branded it into my brain. Before you share something with someone, ask if it would be good medicine for them.
Okay. Right.
If you've got a person who spends all day watching TV and believing everything they hear, they may not be ready for a metaphysical truth.
Right.
That you may be and my other stock phrase for this is a level cannot comprehend a level beyond itself. You know, until I had my permanent awakening, I wasn't quite sure such a thing was possible, right? And I wouldn't have believed, oh my God, I can wake up in bliss every morning and that could be my normal. But it is, right? So you have to, and what I do before I share with someone is I check my inner guidance. Mm-hmm. And before I volunteer something, always asking permission first, of course, is I ask spirit, should I even talk to this person about this? And if I get a no, I just let him be.
Right, right.
So I really take that law of free will seriously. And, you know, I got more than enough on my plate helping people who want to be helped without trying to impose my ideas on people who aren't interested, you know? So my belief is it's not my job to go save people who don't want to be saved.
Right. I have an interesting thing coming up soon. I'll be in Boston with family. And people I've never met, family, and also, you know, all kinds of cousins and all kinds of whatever, but they've already made rules about, like, if we're going to be all together in a big room, we have to wear a mask, or I'm not going to walk in there doing that. Only the vaccinated are going to be able to be there. It's 4 days, all 4 days. I'm not going to wear a bloody mask for 4 days. Mm-hmm. But you see, they've made a rule. I have to sit in the room with them with a mask on. So, you know, I can't, do I lie and say, well, yeah, I have vaccination so I can sit there. I mean, it's kind of like how me playing well in the sandbox. I don't really play well in the sandbox. And I don't want to like have it all blow up in my face because these, of course, are my relatives and most of them I've seen in a million years. But I'm just thinking ahead, you know, how am I supposed to react or not react or go sit in a corner. Honestly, this is so that you see, this is real stuff. You know, on a plane, you are required, but here they've required it for whatever reason in a hotel conference room or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, so, and I first thought maybe I shouldn't go, but I decided I'm going to go because, you know, I'm 67 and some of these people are 80s. I may never see them again. I don't know. you know. Anyway, that's just my thought pattern. Right. Like,
and I can't, the whole COVID thing is just so crazy. I can't really tell you if you should or should not wear the mask in your gathering. Just know that if that's their rule and you're not doing it, you're probably going to get blowback from doing that. And right. Are you willing to deal with whatever blowback you get? And is the disharmony you might create by doing that going to serve the higher good of the gathering?
Oh, that's the other part, because it's, you know, it's a first family thing. Okay. So there are people there from all over the world, basically, and all over the country. A lot of people I've never met. They all have my last name, right? Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be an honor to be a part of the group, but I'm usually not a part of groups. You know, I'm not really good playing a part of groups, but anyway, thank you. Sometimes I'm a gene key, whatever 39 or whatever. And part of my mission on the gene 39 gene key is to stir up stuff. Like,
if that's what you're here for, then that's your role. And that's your appropriate role then.
So you see, that gets me in the and then I walk away, and then I see people on the street. They're looking the other way because they don't want to even, like, you know, engage. And I'm thinking, oh my God. So anyway, but this is the whole thing. It's like, I just put my arms up in the air and go, okay, I planted a seed, I move on.
Yeah. So again, you're asking me what to do. I give you my own approach, because I'm not the same gene key as you. And my greater value is to maintain harmony and flow in a situation. And the last thing I want to do is stir shit up and get people upset. That's not my style. But if that is your mission, then that's exactly what you got to go in there and do.
Yeah, it's part of it.
So I'm not the right person to ask for advice about that, because that's not what I do, you know?
Okay. This whole spiritual thing and dividing, and I like the best for everybody, you know, including myself, obviously. But it's like this whole division thing and dividing, and, you know, I don't really understand it exactly, but.
So I'm going to model something I said earlier. So I'm doing ayahuasca gatherings, and the shaman takes that stuff real seriously. And he says, if you come, you need to get a COVID test within 2 days of the ceremony. It needs to be negative.
Wow. Okay.
You don't have a negative test, don't come.
Right. Right.
And my own, if I were in your situation and choosing not to mask, I would at least, it sounds to me like you're not vaccinated either, right? Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
And that's neither here nor there to me. But if you're going in unvaccinated, and I would not be comfortable going unless I had just got a test and was comfortable that I at least am not carrying the virus. So if I'm going in unmasked, I would hate to be the one who goes out and spreads it to everyone at the gathering and people die, because that could happen, right? Okay. You know, whatever you may think about masks and whatever forced vaccinations, COVID is real, and people are dying from that. So at the very least, I would hope that you would be responsible enough to at least make sure that you are not carrying the virus when you go in, and that your radical actions are not actually killing people, you know? Okay. Yeah.
I traveled to Egypt in April, and I traveled to Florida for 3 weeks, and I've had 3 PCR tests and 1 48-hour one. You know, some was required, like in Egypt, you're required before you get on a plane.
Yeah, but you never know when you might have picked it up. So you always have to get tested right before you're going into a spreader situation, I think.
Yeah.
That's my own choice.
I understand that now. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of all really what I wanted to say.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's been a juicy discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Great. So anyone else got a question?
I've been waiting for Risa to speak, because I know she's got something on her mind.
All right, Risa, let's hear it if you're ready.
All right. I'm singled out. Actually, one of the things I've been thinking about is how we end up, you know, you clear something through all space and time, and then you have to do it again, and then you have to do it again. And it seems like, you know, at some point, are you finished? That's one thing. And then the other thing I've been thinking about has more to do with time and ancestral healing. And do you think that this is all, no, nothing anyone could be here to verify. But at a certain point, as you clear, does it become as if the thing never happened? And then at some point we come back around to the beginning, because all of that is basically incorporated and almost, as things are reunified, what is there of the happenings that happened through all the lifetimes that's reincorporated in the return to wholeness?
Okay, those are big, big and deep questions. So let me answer the first one on the human level. And do you have a beeping alarm there?
I don't.
Okay. All right. So if that, since that beeping is there, just unmute when you're actually speaking. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So my experience is if I've healed a trauma, I don't lose the memory of the trauma. I can still remember it, but it doesn't tend to come to mind once it's been healed. Traumas only tend to come up into consciousness a lot when they need healing and they keep nagging at you to deal with them, or they cause you distress or some kind of uncomfortable something because they're still in there festering. Once a trauma has been healed, there's really no reason for it to come back to consciousness because it's done. Now, you can still voluntarily call it, or you may, you know, encounter a situation or hear about something that revives the memory of it. But my experience, and I've had clients tell me too, that once a trauma is moved to bed, it doesn't tend to come to mind because there's no reason for it to. There's other things to put your attention on then. As far as everything kind of coalescing back to oneness, you know, I can't speak from this from direct firsthand knowledge in this lifetime, but that is what the law of one teaches, and that's what I believe. My understanding is, you know, everything cycles through a universe until finally every single thing returns back to unity. And there's no more duality left. It's all just back to unity. And then the logos is what Law One calls the fundamental consciousness of a universe or a level. The logos then takes all that knowledge and it says, okay, I've now learned more about how to create a universe and let's do it again. And then whatever wisdom has been gained through all the experience of that universe pops out into the next universe. And for what it's worth, the Law of One says there are an infinite number of universes that have preceded this one, and there will be an infinite number of universes after this. And that's just from 3D, because that even assumes time and progression. You know, I guess the ultimate reality is they're all running at the same time from a sense of oneness. There's, you know, everything happens simultaneously when you're at unity. So that's my best understanding of that, although it's only a belief. It's not my direct experience. Did I give any kind of helpful answers there?
Kind of.
Go ahead.
I'm listening for the next beep. I have to get.
Oh, don't worry. If you're talking, it's fine.
Anyway. I'm just wondering if we're going back and we're cleaning up the lineage and we're taking away the traumas from it. What is actually left after that? Is just everything just smooth and it comes back to oneness? Not, is it as if it actually never happened, or does it actually remember? I don't know.
It's okay. My belief is, you know, at least my own experience and those, I worked with 10,000 clients privately, and you know, they are the ones who have healed traumas. They still remember it. They can certainly remember the incident. So there's not amnesia in that way. There's just no bad feeling when they remember it. In fact, that's the test I do when I've taken someone through a healing round, is we start, they pull up the memory and they report it's a 9 out of 10 on the pain scale. It's really intense. And then we do our unburdening or whatever. And we come back and I say, okay, let's check our work. Remember the trauma again, bring it up as vividly as you can. And they say, I've got it vivid. And I said, how are you responding emotionally? And a lot of times I'll say, I'm completely neutral. I'm not being triggered at all, as I vividly remember the incident. And that's when I know we've healed at least all the part of it that's available right now. Who knows if there's more in the unconscious that'll come out later, but we got it for now. And there's always memory of it, but no trauma. And if there's no trauma, then it's fine. And my belief for most of us is, we will probably not get to the end of all the trauma in this lifetime. Okay. You know, myself, I've now done close to 250 ayahuasca and San Pedro and mushroom ceremonies. I've gone really deep into that modality. I've done so many healings and flushed so much heavy energy and, oh my God, done so much of that stuff. And I still have stuff coming up. And I don't know if I'll ever even get to the end of my stuff in this lifetime. And what I find is that if I get to the end of my stuff, then I get to work on clearing my family lineage. And if that's done, I might start clearing for the collective, beings I don't even know. And a lot of us are here to serve in that way, to process heavy stuff for, you know, whatever beings can't do it for themselves. Okay. So to me, the process of heavy energy is just part of the service that I'm here to do. And again, as I've shared earlier, in early ayahuasca ceremonies, my body got transmuted where it could process heavy energy through it. And that's just one thing I do. So to me, the processing of heavy energy is a great way to peel that next onion layer and go deeper into awakening. So there's a beautiful reward for doing it. Now, that's not everyone's gig. You know, Jeannie was saying she, at this point, she doesn't want anyone else's heavy energy at all. And that's a perfectly valid choice to make. But for those of us who can do it and, you know, that's their service, and it's a great thing to do. It just depends on the person. But I'm not banking on me getting all through my heavy energy in any given lifetime. You know, if I do, I'll be pleasantly surprised. You know, yay, all the way done. Woo, and graduate now, all done. But I welcome that surprise if it comes, but I'm just assuming there will always be more, and I'm happy to do it because every time I heal a layer, I go into a deeper awakening. And that's lovely. I'm always up for a deeper awakening. Was that a helpful answer?
Yes, for us as we process. But if we're healing a lineage and we're existing absent of time in all of those roles mm-hmm. that had the trauma, we're clearing it for them. Are they no longer experiencing it?
I don't know.
It could be a collapsed timeline. Sorry, I had to pipe that in there.
Fine. So what do you mean by a collapsed timeline?
Oh, like you're working on a lineage and there's many parallel lifetimes and we're living many, 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 many. And so if you heal it in this one, then it sort of collapses down because it healed it across several others also.
Are you talking about linear in this universe or are you talking multiverse here?
I'm talking, I don't know, both. Yeah, if you heal something on this timeline, let's say lineage.
Okay.
I heal something my grandmother had to go through and her grandmother and grandmother. Mm-hmm. So I have this lifetime and it's kind of like a pathway, a light pathway, whatever you want to model it as. Sometimes it's a spiral, but sometimes it's a straight line, whatever. So I've got this lifetime I'm living. I cure this thing that's been plaguing my family forever. Mm-hmm. When I do that, then all the other timelines that I'm living right now, I mean, I think this personality thinks it just has this one,
right?
But literally there's multiples. Some people say infinite.
You're talking about a multiverse scenario where there's okay. other genies and other universes.
Yes.
You're healing all of them by doing this. Is that correct?
Yes. And you heal that, then those collapse down and there's less timelines.
Okay.
That's just one model. That's just a model. I'm not saying I believe that. I mean, that's just, I throw that out there because Benjamin's always going to make it bigger.
Right. And is that how our multiple experiences get collapsed back into oneness?
I don't know. You know, if anyone hasn't watched the Loki series on Disney Plus, it's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They deal with this exactly. They've got a whole department that Loki gets sucked into, and their job is to prune errant timelines, right? And when they prune it, it's like that whole universe is stops existing. It never existed. It's done. Okay. So that came very much to mind as you were bringing your thing. Now I can only speculate. I don't have direct experience of other timelines myself that Benjamin has any memory of. Let me get into this here. I just have to get a big old, I don't know. What I would for myself bring it down to is that's so vast, I can't even comprehend it. And all I know to do in this timeline is what's mine to do here. It very much ties into what when I first started doing plant spirit work, I asked the shaman about past lives. He said, man, do not worry about past lives, because if there's something unresolved in a past life, it will show up in this one. And his premise was, if you're dealing with this stuff that's coming up for you right now in this lifetime, any past life healing will automatically take place. If you resolve it here, then it might resolve it backwards in time. And I would bring the same idea to a whole multiverse idea. If there's other multiverses that are being positively affected by what you do here, just do the best thing you can do here. Do your healing or your awakening or whatever. And you will probably never know what ripple effects that has into the multiverse or wherever it may be. So unless now there may be those who are more conscious and capable than me, and that might be consciously working multiverses, and in which case I'll have to defer to their wisdom, because that's not something I know about.
I have a sense of it. I can't believe you say you don't have a sense that you... Haven't you had a deja vu that seemed like it was another place?
Oh, yeah. But I've always attributed those to like past lives.
Oh.
That's a single universe concept.
Oh.
And I believe there's multiverses. I don't think it's an accident that both of the major superhero lineages, the Marvel Cinematic Universe and DC, are both making movies and TV shows now that deal with the multiverse. Okay? I mean, the new Spider-Man movie coming out is going to have all the Spider-Mans in the same movie, because they all were in different universes, right? So I totally think that's a valid idea, and it's probably true. But it's my way, like when I play chess, if it gets too complicated, I start attacking the opponent's pieces so the game gets simpler so I can deal with it more easily. Now, my own way of working, I don't want to have a lot of complexity for a long time. I want to make things, as you may tell, as simple as possible in the most effective way that works. So for me, my own bias is toward, okay, I'm going to deal with what's in front of me in this lifetime. Whatever comes up, I'm going to heal it the best I can. I'm going to awaken as deeply as I can. I'm going to serve the best I know how. And if that is affecting my lineage, past and future in this universe, if it's affecting other beings and other multiverses, that's icing on the cake. Fabulous. But my own role right now is just to deal with this universe right here. That's enough. And if that shifts in the future and I become conscious of other multiverses or more explicit things to serve in that past and future lineage thing, I would certainly share that. But that's not something I have knowledge of right now directly, and it's not something I'm being directly called to do. I got my hands full dealing with this reality right here. So I would have to defer to other people who either have direct knowledge or better understanding of how that all works. I have a concept, but I can only call it a theory. I can't proclaim it as truth. I hope that's a helpful answer. I'm never going to pretend to have knowledge I don't have.
Arisa, does that answer kind of?
Oh, that's fine. I was saying it's not something that anyone here could ever answer. It's just kind of as we clear it, I wondered, like, I think the collapsing is a good description of it in a way. As the lineage is cleared, then is the experience sort of different? And then are we, I don't know. That's enough of an answer.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
Well, she made me think of another question, but I've had a lot to say. So anybody else go first, and then I can ask this one if we have time.
Okay, that's fine. So anyone else want to jump in with a question? By the way, this is so juicy tonight. I'm so loving our conversation. Thank you all for giving such stimulating stuff.
All right, I'll go again since it's so quiet. Okay, if you are not prepared to do a shamanic ceremony, but know someone who seems to have attachments, is there something simple you can do to help them?
To clear the attachments? Like mm-hmm. Identities and stuff? Okay. You can always delegate it to your allies. You could, whatever allies you have, say, allies, would you please assist this person in releasing this attachment to the greatest extent that serves highest good and see what happens. There's no harm in that. I tell you what, I was, this shaman I'm doing ayahuasca with, had a great insight that really kind of fine-tuned my thinking about dark entities. And I was telling him, I have this, there's a song I always do in the shamanic awakening ceremony, Out You Go and Energies of Darkness. As I invite him to leave, and then Archangel Michael and I, you know, get serious with him. And I said, would you ever be open to me singing that in your ceremonies? Because, you know, he likes people to participate. And he says, well, he says, when I think about dark entities, I always like to put the focus on working on yourself. You know, a dark entity is only there because you've got some kind of wound or trauma that isn't healed, and they're trying to feed on that. He says, so why not put your attention on healing the trauma and eliminating the thing that the dark entity would want to feed on in the first place? If it's got nothing to eat, then it'll go somewhere else. I thought, that's brilliant. So that's what I would do, is if the person's having an issue like that, my belief and the belief I work with when I do healing work with people is any psychic attack or entity that's messing with someone is acting there as a catalyst for that person's growth. And anyone who's receiving such catalyst is being invited to heal the wound or trauma that is the opening, or they're being invited to go to the next level of power so that thing can't mess with them anymore. So the first thing I would do with such a person is ask them, what is the opening? What's the trauma, the wound, the thing that needs development, and see if they're aware of it. And say, do you have effective ways of working with that? And my first approach would be to see if that person could do some kind of shadow work and heal the problem. And that de facto would take care of the entity problem. And that's probably because let's say they've still got the wound, the trauma unhealed, and we do succeed in chasing the entity away. What is going to stop the same entity or a different one from coming and feeding on it again? It's like doctors who prescribe painkillers for the pain, and they never get to the source of the pain in the first place. The problem never goes away.
I once had a healing where we did kind of a stopgap. It was like, okay, this attraction area is not getting settled right now, so we're going to put a guardian there, mm-hmm, as a temporary measure, yeah, which I thought was an interesting technique.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with a Band-Aid, you know? And if something can ease the challenge enough that they can work with it more easily, that's great. You know, if you're in excruciating pain, it's going to be hard to concentrate and do shadow work. You know, better to have a painkiller now, ease it out a little bit, and then you do your work, metaphorically or literally. But there's no substitute for the work. And unless a person is willing to get in there and do their shadow work, chances are they're going to keep getting harassed by one entity or another as long as the opening's there. It's like if I have a sugar spill in my kitchen, there's going to be ants. I can guarantee it. You know, and once I clean up the sugar, the ants stop coming. You know, it's the same kind of idea, you know? So that's my own way of thinking about it right now. Is that at all helpful?
Possibly. We'll see.
Do you have any thoughts beyond what I've said that seem like they might be helpful for that context?
No, it's just I have someone in my life that I just, well, who has even at one point said that she believes there are three. And that's what I had sensed. And I would like to be able to help, but I also know that this is part of that growth path, but it's very scary for me to see it. And to see the effects of that, the health effects, the weight effects, the different things that are happening. And I just wondered, a more subtle way of helping without being invasive, and maybe without a full, you know, without a full shamanic ceremony and a full, I don't know. I was just trying to figure out how to be supportive.
Well, you can always send highest good energy. I mean, you could say, Spirit, flow the energy through me to her for her highest good and healing. And then whatever your higher self can send over to help her, it'll send through. And so you can, I believe you can always do that. You don't need consent. If all you're asking for is highest good, I think you can send energy to anyone, anytime. Because if their highest good is to receive nothing, they'll get nothing at all. And if it is their highest good to receive something, then your higher self and their higher self working out between them is going to make sure the right energy gets sent and adjust it as it goes if needed. So I feel totally comfortable doing that. And that's non-invasive, and it's not, see, it's possible, and I've told the story before in Awakening Plus, is let's say you really had a great gift at removing karma from people. And the person, oh, I've got this terrible challenge. Oh, I see the karma, and I'm just going to remove that from them. I'm going to save them, right? And what if that was the whole reason they incarnated, was to learn how to master that themselves? And here you did it for them. Now, maybe theoretically, that could have been their last lifetime. They're moving on to the next level, and you screwed it up for them because you took it away when it was theirs to do. Now they got to come back and do it again. All right, fine, another lifetime I could have skipped. Thanks a lot. You know, so don't mistake the short-term suffering of a human for the wiser course, possibly, of letting them work it themselves. And again, I've talked with really great ayahuasca shamans. And they say, I'm in ceremony. I can see that issue on that. I can see that entity that's hassling them. I can see that wound they're carrying. And in ceremony, sometimes the shaman can clear things if they want to. And this person says, I'll never clear anything from anyone unless I get clear intuitive guidance to do it. There's times to do it and there's times not. And so the ego never wants to jump in and be the hero and save everyone and clear everyone of everything. You have to realize, okay, that hasn't ripened yet. Yes, they're suffering from it. Yes, it's difficult. And no, it's not time to clear that yet. It hasn't done its job. That's my own belief about that. So that's my own take anyway. Again, take the best, leave the rest with anything I say. Some of us are here to do things in a different way. Okay, is that complete, Risa, for now? Okay, thanks. For those on the audio, she's giving acknowledgement signals visually.
Eureka's hand is up.
Yeah, you said that the dark energy comes there to feed on your trauma. If you don't know the trauma that you have, how can you get rid of them? I start last night after we had that healing session to them. To get out from my body. Mm-hmm. Because I read a book long time ago about the spirits, and it was a webinar that said, if you are not from the light, leave. Mm-hmm. And I did with my spirit in my house. Mm-hmm. I had few of them and they left. And now, last night I got my idea. I said, if I am doing on myself, mm-hmm. And I start doing it. But like you said, they are coming because you have to heal your trauma. How do you know what trauma to heal?
Well, if they're there and you're feeling some discomfort, mm-hmm. where's the discomfort? Is the good question. So where in my body do I feel the discomfort? When that
energy? Like I said last night that I'm kind of zone out.
Okay, but the principle that, to answer your question, is if you're being harassed by an entity, you're going to feel somewhere in your body, or there's going to be some emotion coming up that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, in my back of my head. It's kind of like.
So that's where you do the healing. If you want to use healing invocation, you call in maximum healing that serves highest good. Please put your attention where the discomfort is, and the divine will send that energy there and stir it up and flush it out or transmute it. And if you want to use IFS, use the IFS course inside Awakening Plus, you would go into IFS and start this. I now call all parts of me that are related to this pain in the back of my head. Please come forth where I can perceive you, and let's do the work. And then you can find the wounded part that was associated with that difficulty, and you can do your IFS process and unburden it and reintegrate it, and that could heal it. So those are two ways you could do it.
Oh, okay, but I don't need to know the trauma, no?
No.
Only to heal it.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
Again, you may discover things about it as you do the healing work. But your deep understanding of it is not necessary at all. I've cleared so many things, massive flushings of really nasty, thick, heavy energy, and never had a clue what it was. But it left once and for all just the same. I like to say when that happens, one of two things will happen. If your higher self says, wow, they're better off not knowing, it'll flush anonymously, and ignorance is bliss. And if I do need to know, then the divine will pop in a thought or image about it to inform me about it and let me know what's going.
Okay.
But it clears either way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else got a question or comment?
I just have a comment about what you're talking about. So I've been taught from several different places to do a maintenance clearing.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine a small version of yourself or full size, it doesn't matter. But you imagine yourself like in front of the sun or maybe inside the sun. Uh-huh. And you have all this light. Mm. And so you take a really good look at your field and your physical body as well. And then if you see something dark, then you just ask the entities, not the entities, your allies to clear the entities.
Okay.
Or there's dark, stuck, heavy energy. Sometimes they're not even organized as an entity. It's just some dark stuff, mm-hmm. dusty stuff. And I like that just because the sun itself is an entity. It's an ally.
Yeah.
The sun. So, you know, so it, that works a lot. And to add to something that Risa said earlier, she said, like, if you like heal something, is it like just smoothed over like it was never there? And I was thinking about that. And what I've been taught is that the allies who are the higher beings, the creator beings, when they find, sometimes they spend a long time doing triage. They do a long diagnosis and they study your field and they really take a good look. Mm-hmm. And they spend all this time looking for the express purpose of deciding, oh, what tribe is that darkness? What, you know, what flavor? Where did it come from? Mm-hmm. Was it many, many soul contacts before this person was ever even a person, you know, before it was a human, you know, had a bunch of human lives or planetary lives or physical lives? This could have been when it was a baby soul.
Yeah.
And so they find, they take a long time and they technically, when they find it and they're ready to take care of it, they're technicians, they're surgeons, mm-hmm. and they go in and they fix it. They take the waves and the particles, things I have hardly any understanding of, and they comb them out or they replace them. Sometimes etheric tissue of our soul is like, it's like somebody took a hot iron to it and it kind of fried it. Mm-hmm. So it might take them a little longer to fix that, to mechanically make it back to where it is smooth, and that virus that was placed there, or that entity, or that darkness, or that heaviness, or dustiness, whatever it is, mm-hmm. it could be a lineage thing. Who knows?
Okay.
And then they clear that, and then I think it's like what Risa asked. She said, you know, does it just smooth over like it was never there? But then how can you do that? Because if it's been fixed and you're now vibrating at a higher vibration because that darkness is all cleaned up. You've had surgery, you know, psychic surgery or soul surgery. Then how can anything be the same? That's going to change your entire soul. It's going to vibrate the whole thing differently.
Right.
And so how, you know, I don't know if it's the same. Might be just an improvement, a higher vibration. Oh, it's an
upgrade, but that's not necessarily going to give you complete amnesia about the original trauma.
Oh, no, but you don't, like you said, you don't have to, you might not know what it is, and the surgeons just take care of it and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might just be a quick once a day, let's go in the sun and see if we see anything dark. And if you do, have them clear it and you're done. You know, that's it. That's all the thought that goes into it, period.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a wonderful clearing technique.
Okay. So I just wondered what you were going to say about that. Thank you.
So if you were using a rainbow, a prism as an analogy, as light split into a rainbow, and it's returning back to the light, and let's say it's white light, so you get all the spectrum, and then it returns back to itself. It was whole and complete and self-contained in the beginning, and it's back together. It's how different is it then? Is it back to the same whole, complete, original thing, which was already perfect? That's kind of where I was curious.
To whom are you addressing your question?
You said none of us would be able to answer it.
I don't know. Maybe someone has the answer. So blurt it out.
Yeah.
I think I addressed that earlier the best I can. And I don't have any different answer now than I had before. And some stuff is just kind of theoretical, you know. And it's fascinating to ponder, but doesn't necessarily make a big practical difference right here, right now. And again, with all my Capricorn planets and my Virgo moon, you know, I tend to be less interested in just wild abstractions that can't be brought into usefulness. And I like to focus on what can we do that's actually going to make a difference right now and make our lives better. So that's where I tend to orient myself. But I love the, you know, I have frequently delighted in those kind of broad speculations that Reese is bringing up. And I have my concepts about them, but, you know, who knows if I'm right or not. Not me.
I like your upgrade. When you just said, you know, it's cleaned up. You got an upgrade. That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, my experience since I had the lock-in awakening back in 2012, you know, and I've lost track of how many upgrades I've had since then. And when I get a new one, it's, there's no words for it. There's no concepts. It's just, okay, I feel different now. There's an expanded consciousness. And I can't say a lot more about it. I can use bliss, ecstasy, euphoria, the same three words all over again. But language is really clumsy when you try to describe these deeper states. They're just beyond language by definition. And you know them experientially, but you can't communicate them verbally to anyone else. And in fact, you can't communicate it energetically to anyone else unless they're there too. Because as I said earlier, a level of consciousness cannot comprehend a level beyond itself. You know, Jesus Christ himself could walk down a street in plain clothing and a person who wasn't able to perceive his magnificence would never know he wasn't just a regular person. A spiritually awakened person, oh my God, look at the aura on that guy. Who is he? You know, so we can't perceive what we're not conscious of. So I like to say each one of us walks around in a unique universe because we're perceiving with our own unique set of filters and awarenesses and no one else is quite the same. If you want a really amazing book on that, read the book The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot, which has been around in print for a long time. And then they just put out the audio version, which is, by the way, included in your scribed, you know, book membership, SCRIBD, where you can download gazillions audiobooks and ebooks and all kinds of stuff. Less selection than Audible or Kindle, but they have this amazing thing where you can just read endlessly for $10 a month, as many books as you can get through, whether you listen or read. So that book is there if you're interested. But the Holographic Universe posits that, you know, the universe, he brings it back down to that fundamental physics experiment. If you're not looking at an electron, it's a wave. The moment you look at it, it's a particle. The moment you look away, it's a wave again. All right. So where the universe is shaping itself according to our expectations, to our vibration, to our ability to perceive. And I can pretty well guarantee that none of us see the same universe. And our consciousness shapes the reality of it for us. So and from that sense, there's no such thing as an objective reality. We're each having our own subjective experience and somehow managing to have enough coherence together to relate to each other. So I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but
it was a good tangent. It was a good tangent because it made me realize about creation and manifestation. Mm-hmm. Is if we're all in our own universe, then it's okay to create.
Oh, yeah. You know?
It's just like, that's kind of what we're here for. So thank you. That was a great rant. Do it again.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, we are co-creators. We can't not do it. The very fact that we're having thoughts and consciousness makes us the creator of our reality. And we get to, and the two approaches are, we can take the super passive approach, like read the book, The Surrender Experiment. If you want a radical example of someone who went totally passive and just whatever happened was fine, said yes to everything. And you can just be present with whatever shows up and go with the flow that way. Or you can be very proactive and say, I'm going to shape my reality. I've got a clear vision of what I want, and I'm going to make that happen in this universe. And that's a great path too. And they're both awesome. My own belief and what I've trended toward over the years, I'm actually not saying I'm there all the way, but the more one awakens, the more it just sort of naturally happens. As Joni Mitchell sang, the river flows right to your door. No, it was Carly Simon who sang that lyric. The river flows right to your door, making me just a little too free. Yeah. We didn't need that next line. But the idea is, if you're really in flow state, if you're really merged with your divinity, what you need will just come. You don't have to manifest. It's just there. If you're that deeply blended, then things will run on autopilot.
Don't you have to kind of want or have an intention or a desire?
Not at that level, no. It's all autopilot at that point.
Okay.
I know some people who do live like that. They say, I don't need to manifest it. It all just shows up. So it's possible.
Well, then one explanation for somebody who struggling with that, they could say, well, your higher self is doing it. That's why you don't consciously have a mental construct.
Well, yeah, but at that level, but at that level of automatic happening, the ego and the higher self are so completely merged, you can't even say there's a difference anymore.
Oh, okay.
The human and divinity have merged so completely, there's no meaningful distinction. That's where free will disappears. Because at that point, the ego couldn't even conceive of acting against what the divine wants to do, because it is the divine. It's a completely merged being. And that's where free will disappears without a whimper of protest, because why would I ever want to do anything that was against the divine flow? That's ridiculous. What's the point of that? Is that with at that level, right?
Well, that feels way better. That feels way better than anything that includes intention and all that.
Well, yeah, but again, you got to work where you're at. If you're at a level where you still perceive a difference between your human self and your divine self, then you have to address the divine self as an I-thou relationship. It's still not you consciously. So you have to work, and the same, you know, as I've worked over the years with, you know, ascended masters and archangels, you know, I've had blending experiences with those beings, and when they finally got all to it, I was them. They were me. There was no distinction at all. And in that moment, I'm them, they're me. There's really no difference. Now again, there eventually was a separation, and then Benjamin was separate from the being again. But the more you start having those experiences, my experience is those divine beings want you to get that you are them. They want you to know, you are me, I am you. And of course, the ultimate awakening, if you have, you know, the final ultimate one, you're everything. There's nothing that's not you. I am that. Sat Nam. And once you're there and you're the whole universe conscious, then there's nothing that's not you. And that's the ultimate reality. But the divine loves to play. And if it was just one all the time, nothing would ever happen. And the divine enjoys experience and variety. So the divine sends parts of it out into separation, into illusion, to have their dualistic experiences. And eventually the part, you know, has all the experiences and finally, you know, all the way down to full separation, and then ultimately all the way back to unity, and then just endlessly back and forth. What else is there to do? You know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So that makes it both situation. So you merge with your higher self so well, you know, you don't know your ego's wants, and then that's one part of the duality, and the other part of the duality is, oh, I can create the situation to be a little different.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine it and then turn it back over to the other, you know, to the other duality. And then you can, like, take both scenarios and put them together, and then that just makes them even higher, but I don't know what that is.
No, but and that's all just from our time-bound perspective, from the higher level, all of that's happening all at the same time.
Okay.
You're simultaneously separate and one, and it's all, you can look at the entire timeline start to finish and perceive it all simultaneously, and it's all there. It's like the last sequence in the movie, Matthew McConaughey was the lead, the sci-fi film from the guy who made
Bliss? Bliss.
No.
No.
Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
That last scene, McConaughey is in that same room, is there along all points in time. And he's in the future and the past, and he goes back and shoves the book out, and his daughter sees the book fall. And that is the best cinematic description I've seen of being in a state where all the past and futures are all at the same moment. Remember, all those rooms were there. All the past and future rooms were all there in the same space where he was. He couldn't leave the space, but he could move freely in time.
So
go watch the movie Interstellar again and watch it all, but get to that last scene where he is all the versions of that room are right there, and he's moving backward and forward in time, but he can't leave the room. And that's where he has to be to accomplish what he has to do.
Okay. I do remember that, but it's been a long time. Yeah, I do remember that. Now that you say that, that's true.
Yeah, that's Christopher Nolan is the director. He's amazing. If you want a real, if you haven't yet seen the movie, his classic one is, it's where Paris bends over on itself. What's the movie? Inception. If you want to see one of the ultimate mind-bending films, go watch Inception. It's just amazing. Five dream levels working simultaneously, each one running at a different speed, all to try to get this guy to think the idea to break up this company is his idea, right?
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
That was pretty amazing.
I haven't seen Tenet yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Apparently, they say that's his biggest mind trip of all.
I don't know that one. Okay.
Yeah, that's on HBO Max. But you know, I'm going way off on tangents now, and we're also about at 90 minutes. So
yeah.
Any final question before we wrap up this totally fascinating discussion?
I just have a comment. Alignment. I was a part of a group called Flow Mastery for a while, and they had this thing like, you know, synchronicity, mm-hmm. and being in alignment. And when I was in that frame of mind, like they would say, these people from Santa Barbara, how can this be fun and easy? I recognize, and I started recording in a book, all the synchronicities. And so, of course, we attract it to us then, right? So mm-hmm. for a while, I'm going, wow, okay, so whatever I'm wanting is actually just showing up. How can that be fun and easy? Mm-hmm. But then if you walk away from that and stop recording in the book, and then you go, wow, so you're not seeing it showing up. So mm-hmm. What I learned from that group was that being in the mental space of how can this be fun and easy today, starting your day on the right foot, uh-huh. being in alignment with what you want, mm-hmm. So if I get into a pissy match, whatever, that brings me down. But if I go up here and do my little, you know, fairy dust day, then it flows differently. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. being in alignment, being in an energy field, well, y'all know about that, right? So I was going to say that made a lot of difference for me if I actually really started the day in this on that path, or if I walk out and I stub my toe and I almost fall over, then that starts my day in a different way.
Yeah.
But the alignment thing was really how it really magically would be unfolding for these people. And it was demonstrated over and over and over. Anyway, I just know these people. And it's like, if you live your life that it all was just going to come in. Like, what do I want to do today? I want to go take a surf. Oh, okay, go surfing. Because then oh, I'm going to have a green drink, go up to the store and have a green drink. And then he'll go there and have a green drink. And then someone will walk in that he's supposed to meet. And that starts him on another thing. But things magically like unfold.
Mm-hmm.
It was all because he was in this space, time, out of mind, whatever it is. And he was attracting things that he always really got what he needed. These other people. But I just wanted to share that was like, it's a mindset. Mm-hmm. Or anyway, that was just something to ponder. Being alignment.
For some reason that I recently reread the book, Mutant Message Down Under. The woman wrote it about her time with the Aborigines in Australia. You know, she came in a regular white woman with her high heels, and all of a sudden she's on a months-long walkabout with natives and watching how they do things. And they start walking. They have no food, no water, and they're in this really harsh desert. And they simply know, they have absolute faith that they're going to be provided for. And sure enough, by the end of the day, they have found some kind of food and they've found some source of water, and their needs are always met. And they live for decades this way. You know, just knowing that they're provided for by nature and what they need shows up. So that's a really deep example of synchronicity and having faith that one's needs are met. And I don't know that it's 100% apropos to what you just said, but that really came forward strongly when you were saying that, with the guy just showing up and all the right things happening. Yeah, I believe it can. You know, what I strive for is just show up, be guided by my inner guidance, do what it says, and good stuff just seems to happen. And I've also observed in my own life, at least, as I show up and I'm really serious about how can I serve, how can I help people, how can I help the Great Awakening, what can I do? You know, my needs are provided for. You know, I find that those who genuinely show up to serve are taken care of. I'm not saying they won't have challenge or difficulty, but their needs are they're met.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. So that's probably good. I don't like to go much past 90 minutes. You know, that we've got a lot of mental stuff running here. So thank you all for showing up. We will wrap this. And this is going in the best of. They told me at the end, this is really good. This is really stimulating stuff that will really get a lot of people's thoughts fired up. So I'm really enjoying I'm glad we put this Ask Me Anything in here, because it's really juicy and really exciting. And it adds a flavor that the Awakened Bliss hasn't had till we put this in, which is a really strong, stimulating conversational bit. Because the mental body needs development too. It's not our main focus in the membership, but it needs its place. Yeah. Okay, so any final quick thoughts before we close from anyone?
Just to thank you for holding space and thank you for your time.
My pleasure. I love this stuff.
Thank you.
I get to do my life purpose for a living. This is great. I wish that for everyone. Okay. All right. Thanks, y'all. It's been awesome. Thanks for showing up, whether you've been live or on the recording. And this is our last scheduled event for the month, but in a few days I'll have the newsletter out and it'll have all the juicy events for next month. So we'll do a bunch more stuff. Okay. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you.
And good night.